Lesson number 12, Covenant, Faith, and Righteousness. I would like to add a thought to this title, What We Do About the Covenant. What are we going to do about this? We've been thinking about the covenant now for many weeks. And so we ask the question, so what? What are we going to do about it? And our author suggests that we ought to think of faith and righteousness. God is righteousness. All the commandments are righteousness. Righteousness is something ideal, something eternal, something toward which we move. Faith is the dynamic engendered in the Christian's mind by Jesus Christ that makes him take hold of that righteousness. So through the covenant, we may gain righteousness by faith. The wrong ruler came to Jesus one time and said, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him simply, keep the commandments. That's all anyone ever has to do. If he does that, he'll make the kingdom of heaven. But the trouble is, it is impossible for sinners to keep the commandments. He needs something else. And this young man said, I have been keeping the commandments from my youth up. At least he thought he was keeping the commandments. See, he was in the same state as Israel at Sinai when Israel said, all that the Lord has said, we'll do and be obedient. He thought he could do it himself. I've done it from my youth up. But then Jesus touched one spot in his life that he had failed to see, his blind spot. You love your property too much. Give it away. Sell it. Help the poor. Ah, there was a rub. He was envious. He was acquiring too much for himself. He was forgetting that there were others. So now he suddenly saw that he couldn't do it. But unfortunately, he didn't choose, by the grace of God, to carry out the divine will. Part number one, the old covenant and the sacrifices. In the old covenant relationship, man tried to do what God required in his own strength. He made the sacrificial system the means of salvation. So if one lamb was good, 10,000 were better. Isaiah chapter 1. And the Lord says, I didn't want this. I didn't want these multiplied animals. These sacrificial systems were only a teaching device so that you could look to Jesus Christ. And so in the old covenant relationship, man made what he did a means of salvation. And that is hopeless. May I call attention to that first verse in part one? If any one of the common people, if you will look at the beginning of that chapter, Leviticus 4, 1 to 5, you will see that if any soul sins, and then he goes on, if any of the anointed priests sin. So God here, through Moses, is tying in verses 1 to 5 the ordinary Israelite and the priest. See, in God's mind, all Israel were a kingdom of priests. But this term in verse 27, the common people, is Am Haaretz. That's a technical term applied to the original inhabitants of the land. They are not the people covered in 1 to 5. Those were the lineal descendants of Israel. And for those lineal descendants of Israel, in verses 1 to 5, if any soul, the blood was brought inside the sanctuary. And for the Am Haaretz of verse 27, the blood was not brought inside the sanctuary. So when Ellen White says in Patriarchs and Prophets that for the individual, the blood was brought inside the sanctuary, and the blood drops were recorded in the sanctuary to be cleansed on the Day of Atonement, what she has in mind is the truth of verses 1 to 4. So in the sacrificial system provided for the transfer of sin from the individual to the sanctuary, and then the promise of grace that would enable him, in his sincerity and faith, to carry out the requirements of the law. And this sacrifice pointed to Jesus Christ as the substitute. Part number two, the new covenant and the sacrifice. In the new covenant, the sinner would say, I can't do anything myself. There's nothing I can bring. I can only acknowledge my sin and turn to Jesus Christ for cleansing and forgiveness. And so I turn to the Lamb of God. children of Israel who happened to live under the new covenant relationship would use the sacrificial system as a vehicle to point them to Jesus Christ, to look forward to the time when the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, would come to die in their behalf. Part number three, the covenant in faith. All those in the Old Testament who lived under the new covenant relationship looked forward to Jesus Christ by faith. All those under the new covenant relationship who live by faith now look back to Jesus Christ. There is no difference in the old in the new covenant, whether before Calvary or after Calvary. They both acknowledge their sin. They both acknowledge their impotence to do the will of God. They both acknowledge the Savior, and they accept His grace and ministry. So Abraham believed God. He looked to Christ. I believe God. I look back to Christ. As long as we work, as long as we use means as methods of salvation, other than pointers to Jesus Christ, we move from the new covenant into the old. Now, how can we do that today? Now, if we look at the ordinance of foot washing and say, I must practice so many foot washings a year to earn merit. If we look to the communion service, say, I must partake so many times. Even if we look to baptism and say, baptism itself is a means of grace. I can look at a vegetarian diet that we espoused as a family in 1939. If I can look at that and say, this is somehow a means by which I earn merit. If I look at my tithe and my offerings and say, I am earning merit by this. If I look at the Sabbath and say, if I spend so many hours in the Sabbath, in church, Sabbath school, Bible study, missionary work, I will earn merit. Then I am using these deeds as a means of salvation, and I am under the covenant of work. I am doing them. But if I say I can do nothing, and these things that I do because I love Jesus Christ. I let Him work them out. Then I am under the new covenant. He is my salvation, and not what I do. Part number four, covenant and righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. All thy commandments are righteousness. There is no righteousness apart from the law. The law describes righteousness. Righteousness depicts relationships. My relationship to your property is defined by the commandment, thou shalt not steal. My relationship to your health, to your well-being, to your life, to your environment is described by the commandment, thou shalt not kill. So righteousness, which is right living, which is defined by the law, which in turn defines relationships, is an explication of what love is. So if I love, I keep the commandments. If I love, I maintain right relationships. If I love, I am righteous. I don't know what love is till I study righteousness. I don't know what righteousness is till I study law. And when I have discovered what the law teaches righteousness to be, what my relationship should be, then I say, Lord, help me to love this way so that these relationships may come about. Now, in the new covenant, I enter into this relationship. It took three stages for Abraham to understand. And it took many years for Abraham to understand. And it will take many stages for us to understand. But thank God that through Jesus Christ, the Trinity is seeking to form this new covenant relationship with each of us. Part number five, faith reckoned for righteousness. Faith is the divine gift of Jesus Christ that enables me to want to keep the law, to do what is righteous. Grace is the divine gift to Jesus Christ that empowers me to do what I want to do. Grace is the power of God that enables me. Faith is the gift of Jesus Christ that gives me a vision of what should be. So as I think of grace and faith as parts of the new covenant, and then as I study the law and righteousness and see the direction I go, then I put my will on the side of faith and grace and righteousness and love, and God then fulfills in me what He wants me to be. Part number 6, faith that works. Faith cannot exist in God's sight without working. There is a kind of faith or belief that the devils have and tremble. They acknowledge the truth and righteousness of some concept or idea or ideal. But the faith that works, that carries it out, that accepts it, is a gift of God. So moment by moment, hour by hour, year by year, the grace of God, through the faith of Jesus Christ, and through the cooperation of my will, in the environment of the new covenant, bring about that sanctification in my life that will prepare me for eternity.